Let me get the light hitting you on the side of the window.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Do you mind just standing over?
Oh, you want me to stand over there?
Because I think it'll be...
But I got to start with, Jeff, I heard you didn't write a negative review of the movie. So this is an uncomfortable situation for me. You can have an honest review. We're going to discuss it. I mean, I'm not sure I want to aid and abet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm not looking to augment or bolster my feelings. Right. I wanted to possibly stray from them. Yeah. Possibly go another direction.
Okay.
So, okay. Here we are. Well, this is great with the warm. All right, hang on, good. I'm going to set a setting, which is letting even warmer light. I'm going to try this. Here we go. You look more towering that way. Ah, shit. No, I know the flash went on here. Sorry. Okay, here we go.
It's only because one brings expectations to anything that has to do with CIA-dom, skullduggery. There's always the feeling that you're going to... Here's what I thought. I thought this is... holds the promise. It holds... How can it not be on some level? Like a John Irvin Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy thing. How can I, you know that?
John Le Carré.
Yeah, the texture.
John Irving would be tough.
John Irving.
Yeah. John Le Carré.
Is he's still working in with us?
Yes. Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that was like back in the 80s. I remember watching that with absolute devotion.
Right.
And I was living in my Bank Street apartment.
Right.
And these were very men living in a very hermetic.
Right.
And certainly, you know, their own language, their own verbs and everything, which is fascinating. And I just felt that there was great fascination and texture. These guys were not dullards either. They were self-deprecating. They had fatalistic, but they were not dull people. And
different character.
And I felt that the scheme of this thing was to deliver the Good Shepherd. I felt that the scheme was to deliver a verdict on the WASP culture of the overwhelmingly white WASP, white Anglo-Saxon, no Jews, no blacks culture that De Niro's and Hertz and Damon's represented.
But that was your expectation. That may not have been the expectation of the movie. In other words,
John Irvin thing.
Yeah, but you had an expectation of something that was going to be based on what you wanted it to be, and it may not have lived up to that expectation. I mean, you see where I disagree. I don't know what you think the failures of the movie are. We could discuss that, but I think the movie articulates what we wanted to articulate. Now, whether you think it articulated well or not, we can debate that till the cows come home. Obviously, that's what makes horse races, right?
Yeah.
But in other words, I don't think it might be fair to say you have an expectation to see The Godfather or something, and that may not meet up to that. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
Part two.
Maybe that's, you're talking about a perfect movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking about part two. If you want to do two, you're not going to find too many movies to live up to two. If I could make one and a half, I'd be happy. You know what I'm saying? And I think we accomplished what we set out to do in magnificent form, and obviously I'm biased, you know, so that anybody who takes truck with the movie, I'm going to argue with vociferously, because in other words, they'd have to tell me, aside from, and look, this isn't, there's no reason for you and me to debate. In other words, I'm trying to say to you, I want you to think about your review with maybe some more enlightenment from me, and you'll write whatever you write. That's free press, right? Yeah. You write whatever you want about the movie.
Right.
I happen to think it's a great movie, and I think it's a great movie for a number of reasons. And I think that we'll I'm going to hope this can be appreciated in its time, and if it isn't, it'll be appreciated later.
Mm-hmm.
But that's life, you know. In other words, so I have no. I'd like it to be appreciated right now, because I think it's. I have no question in my mind that it's equal to any movie this year. There may be movies that maybe some better, some worse, but that. I think it's set out to accomplish what it wanted to, and in some areas it might not have accomplished them as well as we might have wanted to. In other areas, I think we did better than we wanted to. And you see, you're coming in with the idea it was going to be the spy would come in from the cold with Richard Burton, And certainly
another
great one. I can give you all of them, and I can tell you who directed it and wrote it and everything else about every movie.
Was it Martin Ritt?
Yeah, Marty Ritt directed. No, he directed it.
Who was the screenwriter?
The screenwriter was, I think, John Le Carré wrote the screenplay.
He didn't?
I think he might have. But if he didn't, in other words, it certainly was John Le Carré's voice, in other words, for that character,
right.
Smiley.
Right.
And in other words, he's one of the unique figures in the history of literature, I think. In other words, so that the reality of that, but that was a guy who, that's a particularly English take on a spy, right? In other words, look, to me, one of the great moments in all literature is, I've read all the Smiley books, is when Smiley's crossing the bridge in Berlin and his arch enemy Carla walks by him. They never saw each other. For all those years we invested all our lives to these two guys, they never saw each other.
What year was this? What book was this?
This was in the one with the schoolboy. It was his last one. As in other words, he finally turned his arch nemesis. You know, and they were equally good. In other words, they're both great at their job.
Right. Right.
But I mean, this is not a British movie. In other words, it may have some elements that feel British in it, but it's not. It was never meant to be. I mean, when I started this with Francis Coppola, it wasn't meant to be.
Mm.
It was meant to be a sort of a large saga, somewhat melodramatic in areas, that, in other words, to tell a story about this guy in this particular life, a guy who started with a certain amount of innocence and ended up having to find where his soul was in these things, and a guy who maybe knew better. So in other words, it had more of an interesting kind of dilemma for a character. And so whether we pulled that off or not, what remains to be seen. I mean, your opinion will be one, someone else will have a different opinion, and, you know, if the majority is what it is, I mean, in other words, these things will go down as they go down, right?
If we just do a little dialogue thing.
Sure.
I'll be Mike Wallace for a second. This is a movie that's basically an indictment, seems to me, a very thorough indictment of the narrow, hermetic, sealed-off society of privileged WASP government men who believe that they are the United States of America. They have it. Everybody else, as the line says, is just visiting, as he says to Joe Pesci. If it is not that, fundamentally, I mean, I had my earlier view, I understand, about this being a metaphor for the workaholic.
Right, right.
I don't know.
I think that's interesting.
That
well, I think that is part of it. In other words, but I don't think that's what the movie is particularly. I mean, I that came as a byproduct. I think what you just said is true to a certain extent, because I think it's true to this character. In other words, and there's no question that CIA was, it's not anymore, by the way, but was a particularly closed shop. In other words, the people that ran it came from a certain strata of this society that came from a certain nobility, if you were. Will, I mean, there were people who had money, and so they didn't need to do this. I mean, they didn't need to work on civil servant salaries, but that it was a way for them to be active in the government and to get across their ideas about certain things. And I think that the only thing missing in that equation, and I may have a commentary about people like us, which we say in the movie a number of times, is that there was a certain idealism also, though. That, in other words, these are people who went into World War II, who believed in America about certain very good things. And I can't condemn them completely, because I think in many respects they may have protected us from certain things. Some I don't even know about. And other things I think that they probably put us in harm's way. So that, in other words, it's a very complicated thing. But there's no question that this was a, and I think you'll find the same thing in Russia, you'll find the same thing in Iran. Any country, Britain, had this sort of class, it's a class thing. The people who went in the FBI were different people who went in the CIA. Mm-hmm. People who went in the FBI were Catholics in a large part, who were also poor, blue-collar guys, mm-hmm. who went to law school. And the CIA guys came out of this Ivy League education, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, and had a sort of stake that they were also willing to protect. And I think it's not very different in a way than the bureaucracy that they were willing to protect in Russia. So, I mean, I know the subject matter is not as simple as just saying it's an indictment of the WASP culture.
There is an analogy, a fair analogy between Matt Damon's character, who I continue to see, even though he's not explicitly based upon James Jesus Angleton, but he is largely James Jesus Angleton, at least in my head.
Well, I think that's an accurate thing, even though he really has made up of four different people. And I think that was Angleton that was the sort of the primogeniture of it. And that Angleton, but he's not a guy that we show go down a descent into paranoia in that way, in the way you're describing. And I know all about that. I know all the things Angleton did. And it wasn't meant to be. In other words, I think it was also a guy who was there at that time and was smart enough. I mean, if you want to talk about Angleton was not of this culture. Angleton was not, he was Yale educated. Angleton's mother was Mexican. His father worked for the National Cash Register. He was a wealthy man from that, but he was not bred into the society. He went to school in England because he was able to. He went to upper class schools in England, and then came back and went to Yale. But he is neither a middle name is Jesus. I mean, I don't think that a common name you're going to find amongst the Muffy Puffies. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, he's a different. That, and one of the reasons I didn't make it about Angleton, because Angleton really, I think, this is my theory, and what do I know, right? But he was an outsider. In other words, and wanted to be an insider. So that's a different movie. Maybe different, maybe better, maybe worse, but that's a different movie. So it's not per se Angleton.
Put it this way, there's an analogy between Matt Damon's character and Al Pacino's character, Michael Corleone,
right,
in Godfather Part
right.
2, and that it's a not a very expressive man, not too many variations in
right.
expression, and he's carrying the weight of a calling that he feels it's his fate,
right.
his duty, and his estrangement from the family, and. See, there's a moment where I think it all kind of clicks in The Godfather Part 2, where he says, asks his mother whether a man can do the right thing mm-hmm. and lose his family.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, Michael, you never lose your family.
You always have your family.
And
that's right. He makes a decision.
Things are changing.
Yeah, he made. That's exactly right. I think that's absolutely true. And I think, I mean, we have a slightly different history. We have a guy who was, you know, had seen his father have something happen to him. But that's obviously a traumatic event in his
life. Because he didn't do the... Heard the trust of his friends.
That's right. So this is Sins of the Father in a different way. I agree with you, Godfather is also Sins of the Father. Sins of the Father in a different way. It's a guy, you know, these people didn't have much choice. I mean, we don't discuss it much, but when you're tapped by skull and bones, in other words, you'd be going against your whole heritage to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a guy, and particularly in 1939. In other words, we're not talking about somebody who in 1972 felt like, well, fuck it, I'm a hippie, I can do whatever I want. You know, I want to rebel against the family. I mean, in other words, these guys didn't have quite the same choices, let's put it that way. So that they went into things they may not know, at least my character, went into something he may not have felt in normal terms he wanted to go into. He sort of felt uncomfortable with these people. He wasn't a rah-rah fraternity guy in that sense. And ended up doing something that he was very good at, helped invent the rules at, but that it wasn't something that he understood the morality about it. I mean, he was, and I think that's the, to me, Matt's performance is equal to any performance this year, and maybe for a long time, and I'll tell you why. Because I think it's harder. In other words, and I'm not discussing how good Forrest Whitaker is, Leo is, or anybody else. Those parts are kind of bravura. In other words, they have the big monologues and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Matt doesn't say a word. He's dead silent. And I think that's much harder. And it's a much harder thing. And he does something else that I think is amazing, is that you get a sense he knows what he's doing isn't right. And that's a very hard thing to portray. In other words, sometimes, I mean, at the beginning, he feels it's right. In other words, it's the idealism kind of youth. And as it grows along, you eventually see a guy lose his soul. I mean, I'd like to see another movie that has that. I'll be able to write you monologues till it comes out of your friggin' ears for guys to say that are brilliant in the sense of their bravura, big speeches, which will get people Oscar nominations.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's easy, but in other words, they will be things that will be passionate. It's much harder for a guy not to say anything, right?
Why Pacino was nominated for Scent of a Woman and not Godfather Part II? Or maybe he was nominated. But
I think he might have been nominated, but I think it's just harder, so that I think it's a harder acting skill. One can debate whether he pulled it off
right.
or not, but I think that it's just a harder acting skill, and I also think that that kind of personality is a guy that sometimes, you know, leaders are more quiet. They don't have to be talkative. That you get more power out of a guy's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what he knows internally without yakking about it. And I also learned another thing along the way. I mean, with some of these movies I've written, that an actor in two looks can do what you've written three pages about them chatting about. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Here's the bottom line of it. The only real issue is that I felt like this wasn't. It's not the what they say. It's not the issues. It's not every line. Every line I hoped would be there about JFK wanting to scatter the agency into a thousand pieces.
Right.
All those touchstone moments were not overly broadcast.
Right.
They were there,
right.
Woven in a
right.
Very, very nice way. I love Bill Hurd. I like De Niro's performance. It's interesting.
Interesting, right?
It kind of reminded me of
Henry Kissinger. That's what I thought about.
Well, I was actually thinking of his Louis Cipher in Angel Heart. He's the same.
Interesting.
He's the same.
That's interesting. Never thought of it. Never thought of it. That's clever. Yeah. Clever.
So all the pieces were there. It's just that something about it feels.
Pushed down.
You know, all I can say is.
But I'll tell you what that is, and I know we could debate about this.
Right.
I mean, in other words, I think that people want some huge moments. In other words, that somehow they're going to walk out. I mean, wanting some giant catharsis about it, and I don't think that life works quite that way. In other words, or movies, and to some degree, some do. I wrote Forrest fucking Gump, so I know I can tell you about big moments, right? You don't have to like them, but I can give you a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
But this was not supposed to be that way. This is supposed to be, and I think it has to do with Bob's acting style. In other words, it's a more personal kind of thing, and that we may be, if we're criticized for that, I'll take it. In other words, I'll take that 100 times. I don't mind that. I mean, I'm obviously concerned that people are going to find it convoluted, a little hard to follow some of it, and that's going to be a tougher thing for me to sell to people, for them to understand that things aren't, this isn't a neatly packaged movie that way. In other words, that these have complicated themes. I'm not trying to be pretentious about it, and I'm not trying to fool the audience, but some of these things, I mean, if you work in the CIA, don't have obvious answers, don't have obvious endings. You don't know where there is misinformation and disinformation and all those things. And that's so I wanted to give people this sort of creeping feeling that when you left there, it's like the conversation in a way. You're not really sure. In other words, who did what to who? And if you could put aside that in the terms of most movies where you want to know who did what to, and maybe most people demand that, and maybe they deserve it. But this you get a sense, this was done, and you can follow most of the story. And in the end, this is what it did to this man. I mean, that's what I wanted. So is that, I mean, I think I succeeded with that. So, I mean, in other words, we could argue with Blur Face, the other way. And I just hope you take that into account. I guess that's all it is, So
the moment when they throw there's a certain person.
Yeah.
Without reveal.
Yeah. No spoilers.
I was reminded of the fate of a certain character when James Mason in North by Northwest, he's asked, you're not going to take her on that plane with you? And he says, of course I am. These matters are best disposed of at great height over
yeah.
water.
Exactly. Well, this came from a historical thing, though, about a real famous person. Yeah, it wasn't what happened in this, but it's exactly what happened with Patrice Lumumba.
He was thrown out of a plane?
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't know, because I saw the Lumumba biopic, and I thought he was beaten and tortured and shot. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
How come, I wonder why they didn't go with that ending.
I don't know.
Did you see the film?
No.
Pretty good film.
Yeah, probably good. Anyway,
wow.
So what,
But here's the thing, the other thing I just have to say.
Yeah.
The effect of that feeling like I'm not going to get out of this culture is I don't feel the flavor, the angularity that I get from Le Carre. I don't get I felt, even though Michael Corleone is clearly a monster, you feel for the poor guy when he looks, hangs his head and says things are changing. You know, this
right.
guy is
right.
making his own hell.
Right.
But he's not happy and he regrets that he's doing this. You know, all I know is that when we came to Joe Pesci's moment, I couldn't help it. Inwardly, I had a sigh of relief. I said,
somebody finally said it.
An Italian with attitude. And I, before you even said anything,
right.
I was breathing a sigh of relief.
Right. Good. Well, that's good.
Because for once, it's not the Bill Hurd with the ties and the
right.
Well,
that's the people, right?
Huh?
I can't make the people who they aren't, right? That's the people that these.
You'd
people,
be dishonest if you
go look. Then. Go look at Fog of War. I mean, go look at McNamara. Okay, who wasn't? I mean, he's not part of that society really, but you watch that guy. I mean, though he's a fascinating man. and watch him sit in the backseat with his overcoat on in the taxi, and that's the guys, these people, I mean, go watch Rumsfeld. I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, who are we kidding? I mean,
interesting thing, though, The Fog of War had that wonderfully emotional Philip Glass music.
I know.
Which Alan Moore said he can convey existential.
Yeah, I know. We had the Philip Glass movie music from that as temporary music on this for most of the go. Yeah. Aaron Marlowe's a good friend of mine.
Because I think he's one of the greats.
He's one of the greats. No question.
I mean, his
he's amazing.
Ads about switching from being a Republican to voting for Bush. Did you see those?
Yes, of course. Of course. I'm going to work with him on stuff for some future stuff. But Errol Morris and I are very close. Yeah. And
Philip Glass's score also for Notes on a Scandal.
Really? No, I haven't seen Notes on a Scandal. Is it great? Yeah.
Again, the score seems to be in sync with what's mm-hmm. going on mm-hmm. underneath, and particularly the intensity and the feverish romantic mm-hmm. imagination of Judi Dench's character. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Fixation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
that,
that's,
maybe
that's
that would have been because I wish I'd seen the rough print with that.
Yeah. Well, it was very compelling, but it was from Fog of War. I mean, so they can't use other people's music, you know. And
no, of course.
But you know, but there's also sometimes it becomes too much. I mean, Philip's work is. It could become, no, I love his work. The Hours was magnificent. I mean, I love him. I wish he had scored this, but I guess you need other flavors that sometimes, I don't know. I'm not a director. That's why I'm not a director, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can't make those judgments. So.
Well, I guess what I'm obliquely saying, Eric,
you haven't been oblique.
Say this. I'm not trying to be dismissive in any way. I certainly do respect. The unity of tone, it is not a muddled movie in any way, shape, or form.
Good.
But I guess what I'm saying is...
it wasn't an experience.
I don't think De Niro has much pizzazz in the way he threw it. There's really? Something about the director's feeling that it just feels...
But I think that's intentional.
It's intentional. That's the unity of tone and
but
purpose.
So in other words, that doesn't work for you. But in other words, I think it's in keeping with the people that are I think it's accurate for that society. In other words, it's like in my Bob probably wouldn't even know this, but to me, it's like a John Cheever short story. You know what I'm saying? Or it's like the ice pack. You know, in other words, it's not a movie. I wouldn't try to sell a movie that way. Get three people as it is. We'll see how hard it is to sell it. But it's also the swimmer. You know, in that sense. So in other words, it's compulsions and it's. I mean, it's all those things. It's interesting stuff.